listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita McGee on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. This show is called Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And boy, we have an action-packed show today. My good friend Ellen Little and my co-host on my right hand is here.
Yes, and we just did a great Facebook Live. So if you're on Facebook right now, you can check us out.
Yes. And so, you know, we always try to have shows that are of assistance to people in our community. We talk about the environment. We talk about the economy. We talk about how to open a business. We just talk about everything and anything that people want to hear about, even hospice. We talk about hospice.
Yeah,
they're
sure.
One of our sponsors. Yeah. And so this morning, I figured we'll change it up a little bit since elections is right around the corner, already in the corner. Some people are already voting by mail. I wanted to talk a little bit about how to keep Brevard beautiful. And also, we're going to be talking with our friend Jenny Batting. So in studio today, we've got Jenny Batting. Did I say your name right?
Yeah.
Batting.
That's right.
And she's the owner, trainer, and presenter of Epic Renewal Concepts. So welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
She's a hypnotherapist.
That's right.
I feel like I'm hypnotized already.
And Jenny's been on our show before, too.
Right. And then we have Tony Sasso, who is a very good friend of mine and our family. And he is the executive director of Keep Brevard Beautiful. So
hi,
welcome,
Sita.
Tony.
Hi, Sita. Glad to be here.
And, of course, we have such a nice studio now. So, Jenny, the last time you came, I think we were at the old studio, right?
No, I came earlier this year to promote Earth Day
in the studio.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, yes. Remember, I got that great picture of her standing right by the mic.
Right.
I love that picture. It's like my favorite picture.
So, how was your weekend?
Besides
helping me on the campaign and keeping track with what's going on in
Tallahassee. Yeah, while you were taking a little family time.
Yes.
I worked all weekend, just like normal, but I got to see a lot of great people and played at a couple of, because I play music, of course, so I played at a few fundraisers and one event for a family down in Melbourne Beach. Met some people that I hadn't seen in a very long time. All of them are voting for you, by the way.
Oh, thanks. So we went to Club Med in Port St. Lucie. And I swear I'm a Democrat magnet. I just attract people. And everyone has a story to tell. I met a retired immigration judge, who was very disappointed in the direction of our country. And he spoke with me a little bit about asylum. And this is a country of laws. Nobody wants open borders. But he does agree that people should be given a chance who are seeking asylum. Very nice man. In his 80s, probably 88, I think. And I met a couple of pharmacists who were voting for Andrew Gillum. I met a lot of nice people. But, you know, it's like I try to go over there to relax and get away from politics. But then I meet people and something about them tell me that they care about the same things I care about. And it's nice. Then I see my family giving me a cut eye and I'm like, I got to run. Because they already told me no politics on the trip. And I, for the most part, I stuck to it. Yeah, I was pretty
like we've
good.
Said on the show a dozen times, life is politics. And you start getting into conversation with people and whether or not you're actually talking politics, people's concerns and the things that are they care about in their community and their neighborhood, it really does boil down to politics at some point.
It does. And actually, you know, I couldn't help but notice most of the staff were foreigners. And then I'm thinking, oh, foreigners to me means immigration reform, means comprehensive. You know, so unfortunately, when you like politics and you have a passion for it, you think like that, right?
Right.
And then you want to automatically. I'm like, well, I hope they have good health care and I hope they have a nice place to sleep because they're all living here. And I did talk to a few of them, and they're treated extremely well. They actually love working for Club Med. A lot of young people. From LA and all over the place. And then, of course, we had the dance party, which was the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And
we lived
it up. We danced. We had a great time.
Sita made me sing Dancing Queen by ABBA at one of her parties.
Yeah. So it was good.
For her.
But, you know, really, I think life is really about family, faith, friends, food and having a little bit of finances to enjoy. Mm-hmm. And while you're alive, you know, I tell my husband all the time, I don't want to leave money for my children behind. I want to enjoy it with them while we're alive.
Yeah.
And I think that's good because, you know, we get to see the joy that the grandchildren have when they see places like this. And Maddie wrote such a beautiful letter to Club Med. I couldn't believe what she wrote. She just thanked them for their service. And she thanked them for their gift shop. And she said, we spent all our money in this gift shop. So it was nice. But, you have to live by example. And so if you express gratitude and show compassion for others, that's how your children and grandchildren
and
will be
raised. And speaking of living by example, I was just telling Tony of how impressed I was over the weekend of seeing so many people out cleaning up the beaches from the red tide.
I was biting my tongue while you were at Club Med. We were out cleaning up dead stinky fish.
Yeah,
but that's what we like to do.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. That's our fun.
Sadly, but we were out there, and right now, I think the last report I got, the fish are being blown offshore by this front that just came through, and hopefully that continues. But I will plug a few times to ask folks to contact Keeper Var Beautiful because we always need more volunteers, especially right now.
Absolutely. So really quick plug for that. Where do they call? And you said you were going to get stuck on the phone number, so do you need your card back?
Yeah, the easiest. Yeah, who can remember phone numbers anymore with those little pocket brains, right?
That's right.
The easiest way to do it is call area code 321-631-0501. That's our main office, or you can always go to KeepBrevardBeautiful.org.
And it is beautiful. Brevard is beautiful.
Brevard really is.
When you drive around other counties and cities, you realize how great it is. We have so many charities here in town, so many people that donate to things. So, Tony, tell our listeners a little bit on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Where is Brevard headed? We've got the three R's, reduce, reuse, and recycle. I love that. That seems to be what Brevard is all about, especially now with what's happening with our environment.
Well, let me start out by saying I'm involved in a number of organizations here, all nonprofit, and actually run some through the chamber, their nonprofit task force. And Brevard County is one of the top counties in the state or anywhere on nonprofits. Our nonprofits are, in fact, our safety net. It's unfortunate sometimes I think that they have to be, but they, in fact, are. And Keeper Var Beautiful is one that we go out there, and we teach recycling in the schools to about 10,000 students a year, and trying this little sponges go home and tell mom and dad how to do it, which is really awesome because it works very well that way. But the whole concept of cleaning up litter, but also now we're so much more involved in other things like our lagoon friendly lawn programs, which are all about to quote one of our zoo directors, keeping crap out of the lagoon, basically, whether it's fertilizer, pesticide, or lawn waste. Also, single-use plastics. We've got our litter quitter program going out there trying to get folks to quit using straws and plastic bags and styrofoam. So,
and I see so many of the restaurants are picking up on that as well. So
they really are. It's awesome. Yeah. It's great. I mean, it's in so many ways, we've got such a great volunteer base. Our small business owners are just, and there's
metal straw
there
in
go,
a pocket.
Metal straw, right
metal
there.
Straw. Yay.
So, yeah, but a lot of people between, we're talking about politicians. Politicians in this area really have done a stand-up job in so many ways.
And they should. When you live under space goals, if you're elected to office, you should care about the space industry, and you should care about the environment.
Yep.
I mean, I wouldn't expect any less from anyone who's elected in Brevard. Those are two industries that you have to look at. That's how tourism, that's an ongoing source of money.
Yes.
For our cities and towns and for Florida, right? So we expect that from them. But the thing is, you would think that under the watch of the current politicians, of course, look what happened to our lagoon. And where did we fail our community
under
in
decades
education?
Of current
yes.
politicians?
I mean, I think
though,
what you're saying is education. The little kids are educated, so they take it home to their parents. So where did we fail our the Indian River Lagoon? Why did it become to such a point that dead fish is washing up on our shores?
It's a statewide problem. It really is. And I have to tell you, after having been in the legislature, I mean, we were just talking about, 2008, 10 years ago, we had worked so hard across the aisle and put together Republicans, Democrats, the governor, put together some really great environmental things. And since then, they've all the funding for all of them been cut. Departments have been cut. And the folks.
But who's doing the cutting?
I have to tell you, I mean, a lot of it's the governor. A lot of it's the legislature. They are just not taking care of those environmental issues. They talk a good game, but when push comes to shove, the dollars aren't there and the right people aren't there. When you've got an environmental protection folks that, you know, ran shipyards instead of actually involved in it, which usually are fighting against environmental things because they're anti-regulation, those regulations are the things that prevent the things that we're dealing with.
Well, for every regulation, there was a reason why we have a regulation, yeah. Right?
Something bad happened. And we've said it on the show a few times.
Something bad happened.
Yeah, you've lived here a long time. You remember when the clamming yeah. and the oyster industry was here. And I remember even in the late 80s, I would drive down at 4 o'clock in the morning, drive down US 1 and see a dozen boats of clammers out there just, you know, having a trade. And within a couple of years after that, everybody moved back to Long Island because there was no industry here anymore. Yeah. Because that's when the lagoon started, the poisoning started, was because nobody was buying.
And the sad thing is the politicians are so delighted to pose for a photograph after the fact when something bad happens. Because then they're spending so much more money after a disaster happens. But like you said before, they're cutting. And they go along with each other and vote party lines so they can cut money that should have been funding the lagoon and cleanup and educating people about nitrogen and phosphorus and clippings and all that. I don't know why.
So how does it
happens.
Look going forward? Because I think we have done some good education.
Well, I want to talk about that. But just on a personal note, you know, I'm a scout leader and have been for 20-some years. Both my sons are Eagle Scouts. We used to take our kids out and go camp on the Thousand Islands in the lagoon. Yeah. And on the way out there, they all had to take their swimming test in the lagoon. They don't dare do that now. I mean, that breaks my heart every time I think
about it. Yeah, you're
going
to have itchy skin.
Or worse. So going forward, to quote Dr. Dwayne DeFries, who I think is just such an outstanding leader, and there's several others, real scientists, really smart. You know, when I go in a room, I always know I'm the smartest guy there, but when I'm with those folks, I know how smart they are. And they all say, all of the above. It's muck, it's sewage, it's stormwater, it's yard waste, it's all of those things that need to be improved. And there's a plan. And I have to say, the plan, for the most part, is being carried out, and it's going to take a while. It's going to take at least, they said couple of years ago in 2016 when we had that huge thing and, you know, all the dead fish and 50 tons of dead fish that we cleaned up. And that's just what we cleaned up. So going forward, it's going to be another 10 years or so before we start seeing all the positive results. We're going to get bad fish kills again, but people need to stay on track.
Right. We're going to get there, but I think all the citizens have to get involved.
Yes.
Everyone. It's not just government. It's everyone. So what motivates you? What is your passion? What makes you always want to keep Brevard beautiful? Ever since I've known you, you've always talked about this.
You know, I grew up in Florida, and I fish, I surf, I swim, I snorkel. I mean, you know, I if I had gills, I would spend most of my time in the water.
Would you like to be
water.
A mermaid?
I think it's called
a merman.
Yeah,
okay,
the merman part.
But it shouldn't even be a political issue, right? Cleaning up and being the way Tony is. Tony's just a human being.
I have a shirt that says environmentalist. The fact that we'd actually have the audacity to ask you to clean up after yourself. You know, like environmentalists are a bad name or something like that. I was like, got to be kidding me. Just clean up.
Yeah, so caring about the, you know, it's just living here. I mean, we live in one of the most beautiful states. And I have to say, we are, I look at it and having, you know, all the years I've had here and knowing what it was like when I grew up camping and hiking and fishing and swimming. And it's just, we're slowly destroying it. I mean, you can't fish in it. The water's not clear. You know, we got red tide. We got green algae. We got this. We got that. And we're doing it. It's us. We're doing this to our planet.
It's human beings doing it. Yeah, because when you think of Florida, you think of, you know, beautiful exotic plants. You think of palm trees. You think of stunning beaches. That's what Florida is. But people won't come to Florida if they start seeing, oh, well, my eyes are red, I'm getting allergies, I have rashes on my skin, I can't breathe, it's smelling really bad. You know, that's what the politicians should be looking at, honestly.
On the front page of our website, we talk about, and in fact, on my little section up there, it's economics. Nobody's going to come and buy a home. Nobody's going to start a business. Nobody's going to come here on vacation if the place isn't clean and environmentally sound. It's a heartfelt issue, but it's an economic issue too.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've talked about that so many times on the show.
Well, we have a huge, you know, we speak about real estate. Real estate is the number one economic driver, but it's also hospitality around here. You know, it's also that whole, like so many industries are affected by how clean we keep it here. And so all of us have to be a part of it.
Right. So the lack of consensus on what to do causes some people to be in slow motion, in slow action, right? So what prevents Brevard from being the best it can be?
Well, just exactly what you said. You know, folks, I think everybody cares. It's just how much do you want to put into it? And honestly, debating each other, I have to say this, and I know it sounds terrible, and I don't mean it in any kind of mean-spirited way, but, you know, when folks honestly don't know, and yet they're telling people how to do stuff, listen to the experts. There are a lot of really smart people around that actually know what needs to be done. And while there's some debate amongst them about the perfect thing, don't fail for the perfect when you've already got good. We got 80% plans, 90% plans that are really accurate and to the point of fixing the problem. Listen to those folks and quit fighting with each other and just go out and do it.
And other parts of the country have done it, like the Chesapeake Bay.
Tampa.
Right? I mean, Tampa Bay. They've all of these people have already gotten the protocol down. And like you said, might not be perfect for here, but certainly in a good, right. Better direction.
It always comes down to education, right?
Always.
To preserve the natural beauty in Brevard, you have to educate the community. So we just want to tell our listeners, we're speaking with Tony Sasso, and he's the executive director of Keep Brevard Beautiful. And we're talking about the natural beauty of Florida. And to be quite specific, we are talking about our Brevard. We love Brevard. Keep Brevard beautiful, right? So so what makes Brevard so special? I mean, besides the beautiful beaches, besides we have, you know, great, we have industries moving here. We have the Space Center. We've got engineering firms up the wazoo but Grumman and all these places, Harris and everything. So what makes it special for people to move here?
Well, you just said it. It's really great jobs.
See, I know everything. I should answer my own question.
See, you do.
It's all the above. It really is. I mean, I grew up in St. Petersburg, and I had an opportunity. I used to come over here and surf all the time and camp, and I had the opportunity. I had to go to South Florida for a few years, and all those years I was trying to do everything I could to get out of there, and I considered going back to the St. Pete area, but honestly, I came back here because the school systems are so good. The school system is so good. The environment, you've got beautiful rivers and beaches and surf and just, you know, and good people.
Yes.
Really good people. I mean, it's a great place to live.
Yeah, I think that's why.
I came from that coast too, so I agree with you. Between the two, I love it over here better.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of cultural stuff to do here too. Mm-hmm. Lots of arts. People respect arts and culture here as well. So for friends who are tuning in, this is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. I don't say that enough sometimes. And we are on FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7, as well as AM 1510 on WWBC. Thank you, Pastor Paul, for running the board for us. You look a little tired today. I hope we're not tiring you out. So Keep Brevard Beautiful challenges all of us to take positive action in our community and preserve the quality of life as we know it. How do you get more volunteers? Give us your website and tell us who do you partner up with?
Well, first of all, the website is real easy, keepbrevardbeautiful.org. That's the easiest way to get there. We're a nonprofit. We partner with a lot of folks, groups, and we look forward to those collaborations. The zoo is a Brevard Zoo. Keith Winston and his team are wonderful to work with. We partner with them on our litter quitter, which is a single-use plastic we were talking about. We want to reward restaurants and churches and other businesses and municipalities that start looking to be more sustainable by eliminating some of these harmful products, because we're just talking about the lagoon and all the algae and pesticides, but it's also one of the worst estuaries when it comes to microplastics. It's really, really bad shape, and we're trying to fix that by cleaning up causeways and other things, but we need help with that, and those are things that we partner with them on that. Other organizations all the time come and partner with us, and I guess that's one reason we've been around 35 years.
Yeah, Keith Winston is a good friend of ours. He is a good guy, and boy, we've watched the Brevard Zoo grow under his leadership, and it's amazing. Are you going to Jazzu, by the way, on November 3rd?
I'm not sure if I'm going to get to go. I'm hoping I can.
We are going to Jazzu.
All right.
Yeah. It's a great event, lots of fun, and yeah, it's a good thing for people to do.
So what are some of the events that people can volunteer to come?
There's so many. We've got adopted teams. We've got just groups that get together for a weekend once in a while. We've got all these other programs I was talking about. We have big cleanups. We've got something going on literally every week, two or three or four events.
And the program of the businesses, like adopting a road, those kinds of things all run through.
Individuals can do it. Businesses can do it. Churches can do it. Scout groups do it. And we've got everything from adopt a road. I know we were one of our county commissioners actually has an adopt an island. So we've got islands, parks, trails, and roads out there. And they're very easy to do. Just go on our website and you can sign up and we'll get you all hooked up.
That's
with
like the
resources.
Ultimate accountability. If you've got like the adopt a road by Ellen Little underneath there, any trash is there, you know, I'd be getting 40 phone calls.
It's your road. But you know what makes me sad too is, you know, there's so many people that are building all these subdivisions. And I don't think that a lot of the contractors actually pay their fair share. Because I notice what's happening. We just built a new house out in Lake Washington Preserves. And I have to tell you, it's a beautiful home, and we rented it like right away. But the thing is, what I noticed, because Dr. McGee has this thing, he wants to go check on the house all the time. So we'll drive through. And there's so much waste. I mean, I saw so many of these big green containers filled with board and screws and cement. And then the rains come and washes it out, and everything is just washing into the road. And you know where that end up, in our rivers and lakes and streams and whatever. And I'm saying to my husband, in Trinidad and Tobago, where I was born and raised, what's in that dumpster can build a little house, literally. So he gets out of the car and he goes in the dump and he tries to pick up like a piece of board. And we find like plywood. We find all these things that these contractors, these builders are just throwing away. I was wondering to myself, why isn't there like a place where they can take this 4x4s and wood and plastic? You talk about plastics, so much plastic. So what responsibilities are people who are building have to the state of Florida or to Brevard?
Well, I'm just, you know, there's a lot, and there's a lot that could be done better. And it's whether it's the builder or, quite honestly, the homeowner association afterwards. You know, I mean,
well, they didn't have one yet because they were all building, and every single contractor had his sign up on the lots. This is the future home of so-and-so and whatever. But as I drive around, I see so much waste and nails everywhere. It's like, man, I mean, I don't understand how people could want to build. If you want to keep Brevard beautiful, you need to share some responsibility in keeping it beautiful, either through more impact fees or whatever it is. But need to share have their fair share.
I can see and I understand your point on impact fees. And I know that's, you know, I've discussed that as a legislator and as a commissioner several times. But, you know, simple collaboration between recyclers, scrappers, and the contractors, just to talk and communicate and say, hey, listen, we've got this stuff here at a certain time we're building, and allow the scrappers and the recyclers
to come in. Yeah.
And they'd probably clean out half of that stuff.
Yes. You'd be surprised how many artists would come.
And
the reclaimed fence panels and stuff. I've seen some beautiful art palettes.
Well,
I've seen some beautiful
things.
But it's
amazing, like now that the subdivision is built, when you go now, it's beautiful. They've got palm trees and lots of nice landscaping and things. But before, it makes one think that we are all contributing to what's happening to our environment. So I think, like you say, they should have some sort of a contract with somebody to come and pick up all these scrap metals and whatever, you know? And so Tony, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and I agree, I said, you know, all what you're talking about is the scrap stuff afterwards, because I'm an artist and I can't go buy an old pile of fence wood and not stop and get pieces of that, because a lot of us use it for our
so
our,
we have 3 minutes
and even rebar
left.
I know I've seen rebar and all kinds of
so we have 3 minutes left, and I wanted to ask you, so Tony, we all agree that Brevard has beautiful beaches, and we love the economy, all the people that fish and the restaurants, and we want to fill our hotel beds because we don't want people to have red eye. We want to take care of our environment, right? We want to keep Brevard as beautiful as can be. So if you had to change one thing about Brevard, what would it be?
I would tell everybody to get rid of their St. Augustine lawns and go for a natural lawn. You can have a green, lush yard without fertilizer, without St. Augustine. There's just so many better ways to do it than just going with all that, all those chemicals that end up in the lagoon in by way of stormwater or groundwater.
So which grass would you recommend?
There's, I'm not an expert at it, but you can go on our website and look, and there's a lot of ground covers that are green and lush and beautiful, everything from...
I have a whole section of dollar weed
that
looks beautiful.
Grass. My daughter, you know what? My daughter has that grass, which she never have to fertilize it. It's very soft.
Yep.
Yeah, Kimberly has that, and she swears she loves it.
There's native like ground covers that are... and I can't think of the names of them right off the top of my head, but they're on our website. And you can go to IFAS or any number of websites and find out what grows. And here's the thing, you save money because you don't have to fertilize, and half of it you don't have to mow as often.
So where did we lose where did that memo come from that you had to have this type of grass to cut and fertilize and all that? I mean, everybody wanted to keep their yards beautiful, but by doing so, they destroyed the environment.
You know, I grew up in Florida, and I remember picking sand spurs, you know, every time we go
that's
out and play.
That's half the fun.
And that's what we grew up with, and now you don't see yards like that anymore. And quite honestly, you know, they look kind of Florida. It was actually very cool. But like I said, if you want green and lush, you can still do it cheaper and easier without St. Augustine and fertilizer and pesticides.
Absolutely.
So what I'm doing right now, because I really love chatting with Tony, we're holding a couple of the ads so Tony could get a couple more minutes in. And the couple of minutes I wanted to give you, I wanted you to tell our listeners how they can partner up with Keep Brevard Beautiful, what they can do to help our community, and give us your website one more time.
Okay, I'm going to give you the websites, keepbrevardbeautiful.org, and I'm going to make a crass plea. We can use volunteers right now, especially to help clean up the fish, but all year long for all kinds of good things, better things. We can always use donations and sponsors. And, you know, go on there, check out the website. You'll see lagoon-friendly lawns, how to do it, how to set them up, litter quitter programs, adopt-a programs to help clean up litter. There's dozens and dozens of ways that individuals, groups, or organizations can help
and,
keep
and you don't even
beautiful.
Have to be part of an organization. You can just walk your dog or,
yep.
you know,
and
go out for a walk and just
too.
Pick up.
And what do you say to some of the people that says that, you know, it's just a waste of time, that this is going to happen anyway, this is just our nature?
Well,
there are some people that say that it is a waste of time. This is just the way nature intended the environment to be.
I was talking to Dr. Dwayne DeFries. We were speaking of him earlier, and he surfs like I do, and we both have surfed around the world, and there's some places where you can go where the beaches are not sand. They're just 4 or 5 feet deep in plastic and waste, and I don't think that's what we want. So we've got to clean up behind ourselves and sometimes behind other people. You know, that's just, I used to teach the Boy Scouts. That's why God made pockets, to pick up trash, whether it's yours or somebody else's.
Yeah, and at all the workplaces, we should be advocates for wherever we work that people are recycling as well.
That's right.
How many of us work in places where the bosses and the administrators care more about the bottom line than whether you could put a can, you know, a recycling can in the right place?
Learn how to do it correctly. And there's sites, whether it's waste management or any of the waste haulers, Keep Brevard Beautiful, you can learn how to do it properly so it's not contaminated and actually does get recycled.
Tony, are you directly responsible for how nice Ron John Surf Shop area looks? Because when people come to Cocoa Beach, they want to come back over and over again just because of that little square mile right there.
You know what? I have to say, Ron John is a great partner, and they take care of their own. They actually help us.
They're awesome. That area, awesome. it makes you want to come to Brevard.
Yeah.
The minute you hit that.
I have to say, Ron John, the hoteliers, a lot of the folks, and I'm going to do a plug for the city of Cocoa Beach.
Please do.
Does a
by
great
all
job, and as do many of our beaches, Satellite Beach, Melbourne Beach. There's a lot of good environmentalists who actually really, really care about their
community. You've inspired a lot of people, Tony, and thank you for coming on the show and being on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And I think now Pastor Paul is ready to run his
ad. Going to run some quick commercials, then we'll be right back to hear from our sponsors. Right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haul away available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud 9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County. Contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. Every time I say 100.7, I think of going back to work because I feel like a patient
it's
has a fever.
Right.
And, you know, they offered me so much money to give up this Monday. I would make more money if I went to work as a nurse today than I make for people trying to help on a show. But I wouldn't have, you know what? It's nice to break it up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's nice to be a nurse, be an activist, run for office, write your books if you want to, be a wife or grandmother, whatever. But it's also great to give back to the community.
Amen.
And I feel like our show, that's what it does. But I was telling my husband, I said, you know, I would do really well if I just picked up one extra day. But he said, no, you'd be chewing my head off because you'd be wanting to go back on that show. So, I mean, it's fun. And thank you for being here with me, too, all the time.
Always. Told you, you're my ride and die.
Yeah.
We're doing this together.
You know, I wanted to do a show about, the Middle East. And then I thought, nah, I better stay away from there. One place I'm not visiting is Saudi Arabia. I'm afraid. I really am. You know, I was watching what happened, you know, on the news and stuff, and I'm like, I want to do a show one day on the most visited places, right? And my friend said, it's Italy. Everybody wants to go to Italy. They want to go and eat, you know, pasta, or they want to go to France or something. And I said, I want to do just a destination show. Like, where would you go? And it's never the Middle East. Nobody wants to go to Iran. Nobody wants to go to Saudi Arabia. Nobody wants to go to Pakistan. India, maybe. Mm. But then they say bring a lot of antibiotics. So it's fun to be on the show and be able to talk about things that are going on around the community and in Brevard. So our first segment was really good with Tony Sasso. That was fun.
Thanks for...
Yeah, keeping Brevard beautiful.
Amen.
And regulated.
Yes.
Keep it in check. So now we have Jenny Battig, and Jenny is the owner, trainer, and presenter of Epic Renewal Concepts, and she's going to tell us a little bit about herself.
Yeah, well, and I love being on here with Tony because I'm also very passionate about the environment. I've, as you guys know, I've coordinated the Earth Day Expo at Unity of Melbourne the last 2 years, and we'll be doing another one next year. It'll be April 13th because we're going to avoid Easter weekend and we're going to avoid Melbourne Art Fair weekend. So we're going to do it a little earlier in April than actual Earth Day because we want to get as many people there, because part of our thing is educating people. We have speakers there every year to make sure people learn new stuff about how they can be better stewards of the environment and things like that. So it is kind of a nice little combination that you got going here today with, yeah, with Tony and I. The other part of who I am is it still kind of supports the environment. It's all about natural, holistic health and explaining to people just how powerful they are if they can tap into their subconscious. You know, I mean, hypnotherapy itself is something that uses the subconscious. The word therapy kind of implies that you have to fix something, but that's not even always the case. You know, one of the things that I'm really looking at now is getting into a lot of small and medium-sized businesses locally to come in and just educate people about what they're capable of, you know, in
just
terms
listen
of,
to your body.
Yeah, yeah.
Your mind
some people
and spirit.
Would call it gut feeling or intuition, or for some people it is more of a spirit kind of thing. But everybody has that to a certain extent. It's just you may call it something different. And using hypnotherapy and other tools, there's other things that I use as well, heart math, meditation, you know, all kinds of different techniques really to get us there. But it can really help tap into our true potential and help us get more focused on what we're capable of. You know, if we could even use that in terms of educating people on how they could improve, how they handle the environment and factors like that, think of how great things would be. So, you know, there's just so many different things that I'm involved with that are all about being natural and responsible and kind of self-empowered in ways that don't require a lot of outside help or artificial or plastic type
but
of
you,
thing.
But you were not always a hypnotherapist. You
I
worked,
was not,
you worked
right.
for Harris.
I did.
So tell us a little bit about prior to being a hypnotherapist.
Well, I was always interested in how to do things naturally. And I was, you know, even at Harris, I was an engineer, but I was a human factors engineer. So that had to do with how humans interface with systems and products and other people and things like that. So even from way back when I was in college, the thing I was interested in was how people interfaced with each other and the things that they worked with. So, you know, getting a lot of experience and kind of education on the job working there just led me to this next step, this next chapter in my life, that was to get into a much deeper way of understanding how people or why people relate to others the way they do. So, you know, it was...
You're in tune with nature. You really are.
Yeah.
And the thing is,
nature.
You know, I was listening to NPR and they were talking about when people used to have closed door offices versus now having the open office spaces. Mm-hmm. And they were saying that they're not sure that it actually helped because it's interfering with the people next door and people are able to see what each other they're doing and their body language. And they find that people are sitting in the same cubicle, but they're emailing each other instead of getting up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand human beings sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We used to do it all the time. We had some kind of messaging system. I don't remember which it was because I think they changed it a few times while I was at Harris. I was there about 10 years. And we would sit in offices or cubes right next to each other and just IM each other and not talk to each other. Right. Yeah, we did that all the time. The bigger thing for us, instead of just an open office environment, would have been to have windows in our building. We worked in a building that had like one window in the lobby and that was it. So, you know, yeah, you feel like you have no idea what's going on. You feel completely detached from
almost like
everything.
Prison.
Almost.
So what are your specialties with the, what do people normally come to you with or for? Or,
you know, I have had more people come to me this year than, I've been doing this for 5 years now, and I've had more people come this year to stop smoking than any other year I've been doing it, which has been nice in some ways because cigarette butts are something we don't really want flying out car windows and stuff like that. So I'm always happy to help people stop smoking. I've never actually been a smoker myself, so I didn't expect to attract a lot of people to stop smoking, but I'm happy to help anyone with that issue. And I've really learned over the years that it's just another behavioral thing that we do to cope with issues. I used to, because I was, you know, raised as a non-smoker, never around anyone in my family who smoked, it really seemed like, oh, that's a negative thing. Oh, they're bad. Something was bad about them if they were smoking because it was such a negative
thing. The coping
thing.
Mechanism.
Yeah, but I really see it now. It's just another
now,
way. Yeah.
Times two packs a day. Yeah. It's got to be like in the $20,000 mark for the year. So just think about what you're putting back into the economy. Way to go, sister.
Right. Then they can pay more taxes to help
so
their regulations.
So tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, what does it feel like to be in hypnosis?
It can feel like so many different things. That's one of the things that's interesting to me is to see how people respond differently while they're in hypnosis, how they come out of it differently. For me, when I go into hypnosis, or it's very similar to a meditation for me. So if I'm deep in it, I start to see like colors and stuff, even with my eyes closed. But it's really, hypnosis is just being in touch with the subconscious mind.
But your inner self.
Right.
Right.
It's imagination. It's daydreaming. It's autopilot, so to speak. You know, we call it highway hypnosis, that experience you have when you're driving down the road and you go, wait a minute, was that light green that I just went through? Like, I hope it was green. I wasn't paying attention. So that's
kind
of a
level. How did I get here so fast?
Right.
And there are differences between regular psychotherapy and hypnotherapy. So tell our listeners a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, well, and the interesting thing is I thought about going into psychology when I was in college because I was always interested in the human brain and what it could do. And mostly I decided not to because people said, oh, you have to get a PhD if you want to do any kind of thing in that field. And I thought, well, I really don't want to be in school that long before I start, you know, having a job and making my own income. So I went the engineering route, and human factors is the closest thing to psychology in the engineering field. So that's how I ended up there. But when I look back now and I compare what I'm doing with hypnotherapy to what I would have been doing if I'd stayed the psychology route, there's just a lot more structure and kind of diagnosing or trying to put people in buckets in order to treat them with the tools that they have. And the thing I love about hypnotherapy is that I really don't have to do any of that. If there's any bucket I would put things into, it's that stress causes almost everything that we deal with. It can be called a bunch of different things. It can show up in different ways, but it all kind of boils down to some kind of stressor. And
just trying to cope with being out in this big, bad world.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's true. People have, like my daughter was telling me, man, until we were 18, we went off to college, and then now we have to pay a mortgage, utilities, car payment, insurance. We want to come back home because they're stressed out.
You're like, no, that would stress me out.
Right, it does. So can anyone be hypnotized?
Yeah, well, really, the only things that would keep someone from being hypnotized or if they can't hear, because hypnosis has a lot to do with suggestion. So if you can't hear the suggestion that I'm giving, that's like getting into imagery and things like that, chances are you won't be able to go into hypnosis very well. Or if you don't want to be, you can absolutely refuse to be hypnotized, although a lot of people are hypnotized without their knowledge. Even just watching, you know, for guys watching football on Sundays and a GoDaddy commercial comes on or something like that, then they're not really paying attention to anything else at that point. But they're not knowingly, willingly being hypnotized by advertisements.
But they are.
They may not admit it. Maybe that's the better word. But the other thing would really be if someone has a severe, you know, maybe into dementia or severe autism or something where they just really can't focus long enough that they could stay with that mode of being kind of in a meditative state, they would be difficult to hypnotize as well. Kids can be hypnotized sometimes easier than adults. It's just a little different because, you know, for adults, you do have to kind of get them relaxed and try to let go of all the things going on in their head. Kids, you got to be a little quicker with that because they don't have a million different things going on in their head.
This
They're
is
almost
confidential,
there already.
Right? Whatever you find out.
Yes.
Because can you imagine somebody coming to be hypnotized and telling you all these things? Oh, wait a minute.
Right.
Slow down. Do you ever have to bring them out of a trance?
Okay. Well, I bring everybody out before they go home.
Like before, stop it, like in the middle of a treatment.
Because it's getting too intense or something?
Because, you know, like, I know of people, like, you know, we all saw what happened with Dr. Ford, right? And she buried those memories. And, you know, what if someone didn't want something like that to come out and then you notice it is? Do you ever have to, like, deal with that?
Well, the beautiful thing is our subconscious is really there to protect us.
Okay.
And so it knows everything that happened already, and it knows what we're ready for. So that's the other beautiful thing about hypnotherapy is I don't force anything to come out of someone. If it's coming out, it means they're ready to work on it.
So if it's hidden, it's hidden. it's right. the brain would take care of that.
Yep. And then, and this isn't like for entertainment.
No,
you know, where somebody brings people up on stage and they make them bark like a dog. Yeah. This isn't that kind of.
Yes.
This
I get that question all the time.
This is like free will.
Yes.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Kind of thing. Yeah. It's not like you don't have
people
control.
People seek me out. I don't go recruiting them off the street to try to, or out of the.
Raise your hand if you want to lose your clothes up on stage.
Well, actually, that's a funny thing because people do ask about, well, what if you make me do something I don't want to do? Well, I don't have control over you in hypnosis. It's just, and it is a form of trying to help you therapeutic get to something better. But there was a guy when I was learning hypnotherapy 6 years ago that has done hypnotherapy or hypnosis on stage, I think out in Vegas or something. So in one of the forums online, somebody had asked, well, how far can you get people to go to try to do something in hypnosis? And he said, people are only going to go as far as what they're morally or kind of ethically comfortable with. For example, if you ask someone to take their clothes off when they're in hypnosis, if they're not comfortable taking their clothes off in front of someone, they're going to go through the motions, you know, like take their arms and kind of over their head and take their clothes off that way. But if you have someone in here who is comfortable taking right. their clothes, like a stripper in Vegas, they're probably going to take their clothes off.
So that brings me to, I'm sure our listeners are wondering, how does someone become a hypnotherapist, right? And it's taught in classrooms the same way other psychiatric disciplines are taught. So tell us a little bit, what kind of training did you receive to become a hypnotherapist?
Yeah, I had 500 hours of training just from the hypnotherapy school that I went to. The basic course was 300 hours. And they did do it like a lot of places now are doing things online so that they can reach more people. A good bit of it was online, but there was also in-person practical. So we got, you know, right next to someone who's been doing hypnotherapy for a while. They could mentor us and kind of handhold, and we practiced on each other as students and practice clients and practice hypnotherapists. Let's see, for each 100 hours, we did a 3-day practical session together. So it was a really thorough training, and it taught us not only about hypnotherapy, it taught us a little bit about starting our practice, being successful with our practice, but also some other techniques like NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, breath work. We learned about eye movement therapy, things like that. That's why I said it's not just one modality. You know, there's so many different ways to access the subconscious and shift people's thinking or behaviors or habits. So it's great to have a multiple tool set that you can use and pull things out as you see what the client needs. You can use whatever's going to work better for them. There are some standard things that I do for just about every client, but there are unique cases where, like, oh, this person needs this, so let me use this right now with them. So that was the basic training, 300 hours just to become a certified hypnotherapist. And then another 100 hours on top of that to become a clinical hypnotherapist. So I can help people with pain management and other issues like that. There are people in the county I know that specifically are trained to do hypnobirthing. I didn't go into that training specifically. If I wanted to kind of look into that more, I could, but it's not something that we focused a lot of time on, but it's in that same kind of genre. And then the last 100 hours was called transpersonal hypnotherapy, and that was to get us to the point of being able to do past life regressions, to do entity attachments, any kind of like otherworldly type of things, which was really interesting. And we even had some people in there that were pretty conservative or kind of religious, that their religion didn't necessarily buy into reincarnation or anything, but they were still there learning how to do that, because it's not so much your belief system that's in charge, it's whatever the client wants to experience or feels that they need to experience, and you need to be there to support that. So it was really interesting training to do, and I've done past life regressions on people that have turned out pretty interesting.
So what should someone expect if they come to your office? Do you outline the expectations and
Absolutely.
The treatment to that person? So take us and like tell us about like a patient that comes in or
yeah.
a client.
Yeah.
What
client,
happens? Like you do the data entry, you do the intake, and then what?
Yeah. Well, and even before they come in for their first session, I do... if they'd like, I can do a free phone consultation for them, like a 30-minute phone call to answer any questions they have, to hear a little bit about what they want to work on and explain to them how it would probably look. Because I'm not in charge of what their subconscious is going to bring up, I can't tell them exactly how many sessions it's going to take. But what I typically do is encourage people, if it's something that's a habit or behavior that they'd like to change, 3 sessions is like a minimum, basically. They can still come in for just one if they want, and they decide at the end of the first session what they want to do. But I really just have a single session, a 3-session, and a 5-session package because everything that people have come in for has really pretty much been handled in one of those increments. Yeah. Where, and that's another thing that's different from psychology. Typically, you're going to a psychologist for months and months and months and may still not see the same benefit you would after 5 or 6 sessions of hypnotherapy. But what typically does happen, of course, in the first session is we're planting seeds of the new way of thinking, the new way of behaving.
So it's almost like an education for the mind mm-hmm. as well. So we're talking to our friend Jenny Battig here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We're on AM 1510 WBC, FM 94.7, FM 100.7, and FM 99.7. What a great show. I love shows like this because you really help people with Keep Brevard Beautiful as well as what you're doing with keeping a beautiful mind, I would say.
Yeah.
So do you specialize in treating any certain conditions? Because some hypnotherapists, they mm-hmm. specialize. Do you specialize in any?
I wouldn't say that I specialize, no. There's very few people that have called in to tell me something that they feel is like they're the only ones that have that kind of issue that they'd like to work on. Very rarely have I told them, you know, you might want to try something else instead. Because, like I said, the way I look at things, everything kind of boils down to one pot of there's some kind of stressor that happened to them, and if I can help them get to that, regardless of what it turned into in terms of their life today, I'm happy to help them with that.
You know, they need somebody like you in all the elementary schools. Mm-hmm. Honestly, because when you see kids who are being bullied or kids who are not getting their homework done on time.
Or the kids who are bullying.
Yes. I mean, you're right. Exactly. The victim as well as the one who's doing the bullying. Yep. People need help in how to cope with life. Yes. And it's not a joke anymore. There are little children who are stressed out just going to school and being in a crowd or being in a classroom with other people and knowing when they go home there's going to be two parents fighting or there won't be food on the table.
Yep.
And, you know, what you do is so important in making someone have a beautiful mind and being able to cope, right?
Yep.
So
Just on that note, can you imagine being 7 years old and coming home and telling your parents, I had active shooter training today?
Right. It's
right.
Well,
your
that's
school?
Why you need somebody yeah. like Jenny who you know, who would be there to teach. I would love to see a program implemented in all schools mm-hmm. where there's someone like Jenny who's there to talk with the children on a level that she's saying, I'm helping you to cope with the stresses of life.
Right. Yeah, social emotional learning really is something that would be extremely beneficial to have in the schools, especially. It'd be good for the parents as well.
Yeah.
But starting with the kids so that as they grow up, they're more emotionally healthy. And that's where, again, that's not necessarily something I'm going to hypnotize a kid to learn how to do. But the other tools that I have, the heart math and, you know, even just meditative practices, mindfulness, there are a lot of different ways of doing it.
Yeah. So it doesn't always have to involve hypnotherapy.
Well, we were talking about being proactive with the environment, hypnotherapy sometimes seems a reactive thing, but there's similar techniques, self-hypnosis and meditation and heart math and all these other things that are more preventive right. in terms of taking care of yourself, your
own
mind.
Well, what you're doing is you're teaching people to be a kinder, gentler human being. And mm-hmm. in turn, they will be kinder and gentler to themselves and they will be like that to the public as well.
Mm-hmm. Because more empathetic.
Once you realize what works for you to make you a better human being and mm-hmm. cope with all the stresses, then you could help other people.
Yep.
Now, you talked a little bit about heart math mm-hmm. before. So talk a little bit about that if you don't mind.
Yeah. So heart math is an organization out in California that's done, not only come up with some techniques, but has done a lot of research around those techniques to show how just changing how our vibration and sort of like the energy that we give out, and it starts in the heart, can affect others, not just ourselves. So they've even put things around the planet that have measured the energy in the earth. And when they do some kind of, experiment to see if everybody is kind of in a war type of zone, then the vibrations of the earth are different in that area than when people are in a peaceful place, you know, and the vibration's just different. So they're doing things, experiments about having people go into meditation at the same time or go into some of their techniques, which involve just getting in touch with your heart, kind of feeling your heartbeat, breathing as if you're breathing through your heart slowly and rhythmically, and then just bringing a positive feeling, you know, and imagining that positive feeling growing and expanding to include the others around you. So there's really some very simple techniques, and that's the kind of stuff that the kids can really learn to do. And it's they can do it whenever. Nobody's going to know they're doing it. It's not a shameful thing, you know. There's just a lot of things that were quick and easy techniques that HeartMath has come up with that can be very helpful when it comes to calming yourself, controlling your emotions and your energies.
It's almost as if you should be teaching this to people before they become pregnant as well. Just imagine if you're equipped with all these this information to raise a child, how wonderful it would be. I'm just beginning to think maybe you should be doing this to couples before they get married too. Because even that, what you're saying about a child would help a person so much.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what Hinduism is. Our religion is almost like that because, you know, before you get married, you know, the elders in the family sits down with you and they tell you if you have a job, if you have land, if you have money in the bank, if you have a job, if you have family support, you can have a child. And if you don't, you can't. And that's literally how they raise children. You know, they tell you, you have to be able to be responsible and accountable for a child if you bring it into the world. Are there some that slip through the cracks? Yes. And are we there to help them? Yes. But what you're saying is basically what Hinduism is. It is almost like a way of life that you should live by example.
Right.
And meditation is a big part of our religion, as well as time spent with family and friends as well. Now, what you're saying is, I feel sometimes like you're Hindu. Yoga and meditation and getting in touch with your inner self and being a kinder, gentler human being, and and not just saying you want to be your brother's keeper, but you actually are. So thank you so much for being on our show today.
Yeah,
it's so
thanks
wonderful.
For having me. I love
but,
coming
before
so
you go,
website and phone number.
But before she goes, I know you offer other services with the remaining couple of minutes. If you could go do it in a minute, that'd be good, and give us your website.
Yeah, well, I think I've covered a lot of the different tools that I use, but really just educating people is what I love to do. I love to go out and, you know, find audiences that I can teach about this stuff, the power of their subconscious mind, and the simple and easy tricks, that, not even tricks, techniques that they can use to tap into that power and improve their life, improve their happiness, even sometimes improve their physical health. So my two websites, I've got hypnotherapybyjenny.com, if hypnotherapy is really specifically what you're looking for. EpicRenewal.com is my other website, and that's just sort of a more expansive view of what I do. That would include the speaking and the teaching and the training and the coaching. And also, you know, even essential oils is something that I can train people about, because they're a very natural way of keeping our body balanced from a chemical perspective. You know, not adding more synthetic things into our body that just leads to needing some other synthetic thing to counteract the side effects that happened before. So EpicRenewal.com and HypnotherapyByJenny.com.
What a great show. I feel so calm today. Like, this is what the whole world needs, is a kinder, gentler United States and world. And she brought it to us in the form of body, mind, and spirit. And Tony gave it to us in the form of the environment.
Yep.
Yeah. How beautiful.
Grab a bag and start picking stuff up.
Do it calmly and gently.
That's right. That's right. Once again, another fantastic episode of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Sita, thank you so much for all that you do. Please make sure that you get out there and vote. And we will see you next week here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, right here, same station, same time, 1 o'clock.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264 AM.